This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey all, welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. I am your host, pharmacist Eric Christensen. Thank you so much for listening today. As always, go check out reallifepharmacology.com. Snag your free top 200 study guide. It's a 31-page PDF, and I really highlighted a lot of my clinical practice pearls and a lot of things that just happen actually out in the real world when managing and following medications. So go snag that for free simply for subscribing at reallifepharmacology.com. With that, let's get into the drug of the day today. That is going to be leflunomide. Brand name of this medication is Arava. And I will say that I don't see this medication used a ton anymore. It is primarily used in clinical practice for rheumatoid arthritis, and it is an oral DMARD, that's disease-modifying anti-rheumatic drug. Now, why you don't see this medication used, it does have some significant warnings associated with it, and I'll mention those coming up here. But primarily, if you're going to see an oral DMARD being used, you're going to see methotrexate, hydroxychloroquine, and potentially sulfasalazine used as well, typically, before we go to leflunomide. Now, there may be rare cases where we go to it for one reason or another, but those three drugs, along potentially with the biologics, are definitely growing in popularity, which you're probably seeing less and less of leflunomide being used for rheumatoid arthritis. There are a couple of off-label uses, like CMV, cytomegalovirus, BK virus, and those really probably only occur in transplant patients. And personally, I've never seen an actual case where they've been used for that off-label, but if you see a quirky off-label use, that could be happening out there. Mechanistically, this drug blocks pyrimidine synthesis, which ultimately leads to an inhibition of cellular proliferation. And ultimately, the end goal, particularly in rheumatoid arthritis, we're looking to reduce inflammation and inflammatory responses. So ultimately, that's what it does. It is a prodrug that needs to be activated. Interestingly, so we've got some dosing things with this medication that are a little bit quirky, and one in particular. So there is the option to do a loading dose. So if you see, you know, a higher than usual or standard dose for a couple of days, that might be a situation where we're doing a loading dose. Now, keep in mind that loading dose might be in the ballpark of 100 milligrams, and we can have chronic dosing in the 10 to 20 milligram range, so we've got to be a little bit careful with our zeros in that situation, recognizing that 100 milligrams might be appropriate for a very short-term loading dose in RA, but we want to make sure that we don't make an error and continue to give that 100 milligrams. Those are the type of things I have seen out in clinical practice where we get mixed up with zeros and things like that. So if you see that loading dose being used, or you know of a specialist that's using that loading dose, be really, really careful and make sure the patient's educated on what the appropriate dose is and when they're supposed to switch over. So in chronic patients, the dose that I've probably seen most often is 20 milligrams a day. And again, you know, for RA, that's going to be used on a chronic basis to try to reduce the incidence and severity of rheumatoid arthritis flares. Adverse effect profile Most of the patients I've seen this medication on, they've been on it for a long, long time, so they've been tolerating it without issues. But percentage-wise, you know, short-term GI side effects, headache, that can definitely result on account of the medication. Also, some dermatologic skin reactions, alopecia or hair loss can happen. So those are kind of some general things to keep tabs on. Now, the two warnings, there's two big boxed warnings with this medication. Again, that's why I said you probably don't see it used terribly often. In the general population, anybody, we do have to worry about liver toxicity. So that is a boxed warning. And obviously, if we're using this medication, that's something we're going to be looking out for. The other one is leflunomide is teratogenic. So we absolutely should be avoiding this medication in pregnancy. And that kind of ties in with the monitoring parameters. You know, in female patients of childbearing age, we're obviously going to look and make sure they aren't pregnant or they aren't trying to get pregnant because of that risk to the fetus. Also, remember, this is or has immunosuppressant activity. So we've got to evaluate for disease states such as like latent TB, because if we give an immunosuppressing agent, and you know, we could end up activating tuberculosis to its more active infection state there. CBC, white blood cell count, I think that's, you know, kind of self-explanatory, particularly with the mechanism and the drug potentially suppressing the immune system. And then, of course, you know, with the boxed warning on on liver function tests, we're going to monitor liver function as we begin to use this medication and throughout chronic therapy. All right, so let's take a quick break from our sponsor, and we will wrap up with drug interactions. If you're in the market for pharmacist board certification study material, like geriatrics, ambulatory care, medication therapy management, pharmacotherapy, newly added board-certified psychiatric pharmacist practice exam. So definitely go check that out. We've also got NAPLEX content. And we've got a lot of Audible books and Amazon books for, you know, general practitioners, nurses, even dietitians. We've got a guide to food-drug interactions. So again, ton of different resources. All those links are at meded101.com/store. Please help support the sponsor, whether it's a, you know, just the purchase of a smaller book or some of our bigger packages for study materials. So we greatly appreciate you supporting meded101.com, and it helps obviously keep this podcast funded and educational for all to enjoy. All right, so let's wrap up with drug interactions for leflunomide. So first off, I want to mention two CYP enzymes. So leflunomide can actually induce CYP1A2, and CYP1A2 breaks down certain drugs. And so when we induce that enzyme, we're ramping it up, we're speeding it up. So drugs like clozapine, caffeine, olanzapine, clomipramine, duloxetine to a certain extent, these are all medications that can potentially have their concentrations lowered if we add leflunomide. Another potential CYP interaction, leflunomide inhibits CYP2C8. Now, in the grand scheme of things, CYP2C8 really isn't very significant. There aren't a ton of drugs, at least at this point, that are broken down through CYP2C8. I should say, not a ton of commonly used medications. I would say probably the most common one that I've seen used is probably pioglitazone, which there again, it's got some issues in diabetes, so I don't see it used too much anymore, but it can actually increase the concentrations of pioglitazone because leflunomide inhibits CYP2C8. Now, there are a few other rare ones, and I always encourage you, if you're not sure, to run a drug interactions checker. just to get a sense of what we might be doing with the medication and the patient's other medications that they're taking. Of course, leflunomide having immunosuppressant activity, we've got to be cognizant of additive effects there. So, you know, probably the most common situation is using corticosteroids in combination with leflunomide. Both can potentially suppress the immune system and maybe increase that risk of infection. Other medications, so bile acid sequestrants, so that's a drug like cholestyramine that can bind up the drug in the gut and lead to lower concentrations of leflunomide and its active prodrug form. And then, of course, lastly, drugs that increase liver toxicity risk, or patients with, you know, medical history that might be alarming in that situation. So, of course, there I think about, you know, patients with a heavy alcohol history. You know, they might have some pre-existing liver damage, and leflunomide might potentially add on to that. Other, you know, liver toxic drugs, of course, acetaminophen generally comes to mind. Methotrexate, you probably wouldn't see it used with leflunomide, but again, just thinking about those additive effects on the liver and drugs that can cause liver issues. All right, so I think that's going to wrap it up for today. Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, enjoy the podcast in general, leave a rating, review on iTunes or wherever you're listening. That's greatly appreciated. Share us with a colleague, classmate, student, preceptor, whoever you're working around in the field of healthcare. If they need to learn more about medications or need some refreshers, definitely send them our way to the Real Life Pharmacology podcast. Again, support our sponsor, MedEd101.com. That helps keep our podcast going. And if you want to reach out to me personally, comments, suggestions, or you know, to say I made a mistake on something, definitely don't hesitate to reach out, MedEducation101@gmail.com, or potentially LinkedIn, Eric Christensen, PharmD, BCGP, BCPS. Those are probably the two most active spaces that I'm in, and probably the easiest way to catch me if you've got something to say. I'm going to sign off for today. Thanks again for listening. Hope you picked up a few pearls, and we'll catch you another day.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.